turn to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel for our first reading. 2 book of Samuel, chapter 3. Second Samuel, please, chapter 3, and verse number 26. And when Joab was come out from David, he sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again from the well of Sirah. But David knew it not. And when Abner was returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside in the gate to speak with him quietly, and smote him there, under the fifth rib, that he died for the blood of Asahel, his brother. And afterward, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are guiltless before the Lord forever from the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. Just further down, verse 33. And the king lamented over Abner and said, Died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put into fetters. As a man falleth before wicked men, so fellest thou. Now let's go over to the Gospel by Matthew for a reference. Matthew, and in chapter 16. The question has been asked by the Lord Jesus of whom do men say that I the Son of Man am? Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, Simon son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Final reference in the book of Revelation. Same book from which we have already heard, this time chapter 21. Revelation 21, verse number 10. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And we look to the Lord for further blessing upon His Word. It's a few years ago, we were on a trip to London, England. And one of the things I wanted to see, I always had wanted to see it, was the Tower of London. Now you might be familiar that the seat of government in England had once been seated in that place called the Tower of London. It's quite something to see. But the crown jewels are housed there. And of course, my wife wanted to go and see the crown jewels. So we took the trip, we paid the entrance fee, and we went in. And you might be aware, they put you onto a moving walkway. And they bring you past those cases in which are housed the crown jewels. There are crowns, there are rubies, there are sapphires, there are diamonds. And I watched. I watched especially the ladies. And I watched them as they pointed at those jewels. Look at that one. Or this one. And you could see their eyes getting bigger as they moved past them. I'll be honest with you. I wasn't so much taken with the jewels. I was looking at the gates. Really.
I know it sounds stupid, because basically, in those cases, are things which are invaluable. They are so valuable that they can't be insured. They are basically self-indemnifying. And here am I, and I'm standing, and they bring you over a moat. They bring you underneath a gate. In that gate is a portcullis. It's been hanging there since the 16th century. When you come through that gate, they bring you to Traitor's Gate. That's where they used to put people like me in boats and send them down the River Thames. And once you're through that, then you come into the area in which is housed the crown jewels themselves. And the gates, no exaggeration, the gates are this thick. And I come through looking at the gates. My wife said to me, "What do you think of the jewels?" I said, "Well, they're okay. But look at the gates." You know what I want to speak tonight on? I want to speak on Bible gates. I see from 2 Samuel, I see there the gates of Hebron. When we come to Matthew's Gospel, we read there about the gates of hell. And finally, if God gives a little help tonight, I want to speak on the gates of heaven. The gates of Hebron, the gates of hell, and the gates of heaven. What it must have been for this man. His name is Abner. And here he is, and he's standing in a place of safety. Now, please understand, you might be asking tonight, why is it you're preaching on Hebron? What is so significant about this city, the city of Hebron? Well, God had set forth this city. In fact, it was one of six cities. God had established six cities. Three on the east side of the River Jordan. Three on the west side. And God said, if someone has sinned, and if their sin has overtaken them, for instance, manslaughter, God said they can get to that city. And once they step inside that city of refuge, they are saved. The manslayer cannot touch them. They are safe. They are secure. No condemnation. You know what, friend? Just in case I miss this, everything I'm trying to preach, let me tell you tonight, there is a place of safety. There is a place in which, once sinners have believed God, taken a step of faith, once sinners have believed God, you know what? They are safe. They are secure. Will you say, where is that place? Listen to it. It is in Christ. In Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Let me ask you again. Ever got to Christ? Ever trusted Him? Ever started for glory? Here is a place. The gates of Hebron. A place of safety. I do notice about this. Just before I get into it, when God set forth this place, He sent men. And those men, they were basically servants. They're called Levites. You know what He told the men? He said, you go, and you make sure those roads to those cities of refuge, you make sure that they are all clear. There is no debris that should be on the road. You know what? We live in a world where people are consistently, continually putting debris on the road. You know what God has done? He has sent men so that the path to the place of refuge is absolutely clear. I was talking to a dear man at a series of gospel meetings in Nova Scotia just before I came here. And my wife, she teased me about it because I come home one night and they give them all a nickname. In Weaver Settlement, everyone has a nickname. So we got down to pray together. And I mentioned Super Dave, and I mentioned the monkey, and I mentioned Shed. And she got up, and my wife was just, she was laughing. She really was. She says, what kind of a list is that to pray for? And I said, they all got souls. But one of those dear men, someone years ago, they brought a verse of scripture to him. 75 years of age he is now. And when 40 years ago, someone brought a verse of scripture, and they said, can you put your name into that? You do that, and you are saved. And he thought he was saved. That man was coming to those gospel meetings, absolutely exasperated. He came to us. He said, listen, I'm not saved. I didn't get it. I'm not ready for heaven. Tell me, how can I get this? You know what someone had done? Just put debris in his road. Oh, friend, tonight, God help us to clear the road to the place of safety. To announce clearly that there is only one singular, solitary place of safety, the man Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Listen to it. Isaiah 32, a king shall reign in righteousness, princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be in hiding place, a place of safety. Not only were they to keep the roads clear, I also noticed this. They were to put up signs. They were to mark clearly. There was to be a clear demarcation. This is the way. Put up the signs so that people will know this is the place of refuge. Ah, friend, I only have to go to John's Gospel. And once we start John's Gospel, it's sign after sign after sign. Listen to John 1. John 1, 29. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Listen to John 3, 16. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Listen to John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth him that sent me. Everlasting life. Listen to John 10. John 10 and 9. I am the door. Listen to John 14. John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but through me. Friends and I, you know what God has done? So clearly, God has put up signs. The way to the place of safety is clearly demarcated. And sinners, if sinners want to go, it is there. It is signposted. The roads are open. There is one singular, solitary place of safety, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here we have him. Now let's get the picture. Here is Abner. He knows this. He gets to the place of safety. He is standing right in the gate. Now you get the picture. Here is the gate. All Abner has to do is believe God. Take a step of faith. That's all he's got to do. One step. One step of faith. And Abner, you're saved. You know what you would say, and I would say, had we been there, we would have said to Abner, Abner, take it. It's a no-brainer, Abner. Just take the step. That one step, take it, and you're saved. But you say it was a no-brainer. Hey, there are people who have heard the gospel, and they've heard the gospel for a long time, and they're just sitting in the same place. And just one step, someone told me recently, if I took that step, it's a step into the dark. Nonsense. You know what? It is a step into the light. And once a sinner takes that step, they find God is as true as His Word. God is true. God's Word is true. And you would say, Abner, take the step. And Abner's right in the gate. I noticed three things about Abner. The first thing is this. Abner, he was pursued. There was someone on Abner's tail. And he wanted to prevent Abner from getting to that place of safety, taking that step. And he is prepared to do anything and to do everything to make sure Abner is not in the place of safety. You know that how that compares in the gospel tonight. There is one, and he's on your track. Make no mistake about it. In this gospel meeting, there is an enemy, and he is the enemy of souls. He is called various names in Scripture. He is called Satan. He is called the devil. He is called the god of this age. He is called the prince of the power of the air. He is called Apollyon. He is called Abaddon, the destroyer. You know what, friend? He wants your soul. And he is pursuing you. Every sinner here, he is on your track. He wants your soul. Abner, he was pursued. But more than that, not only was he pursued, Abner was persuaded. Abner stands in the gate. And Abner is standing and he is persuaded. You know what he was persuaded of? Abner was persuaded of this. There is a king. And this king, he has been rejected. This king, he has suffered. This king, people don't want him. This king, God has given him the throne and I am going to be with him. Maybe there's someone here and you've heard the story of the cross before. And you've heard of the king that God is going to put on the throne. The king that has been rejected. the king that has suffered, the king that men said, away with him, we don't want him. Give us Barabbas, but don't give us Jesus. We don't want him. You know what, friend? God has given him the throne. And here is Abner. And he stands, and he's fully persuaded. Maybe I'm speaking to someone here. And like that man in Acts chapter 26, maybe tonight you're saying, almost, thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost persuaded. And here is Abner in the gate, and we say to him again, go on, Abner. Believe God. Just take the step of faith. Trust him. You trust God, and you're saved. Abner, he's pursued. Abner, he's persuaded. Abner, he perishes in the gate. Must be a terrible thing. Right there. Just a step from it. You know what John Bunyan said in Pilgrim's Progress? John Bunyan, many years ago, was thrown into prison. And he wrote an allegory about sinners and how they could be saved. It's called Pilgrim's Progress. John Bunyan said in Pilgrim's Progress, I perceive that from the very gate of heaven, there is a door to hell. And the possibility is God has just lifted someone with privilege right to heaven. Do you know where you're standing tonight? Just where we heard of. I saw a door opened in heaven, and you're standing right at the door. Just as Abner was standing right at the gate. One step, believing God. One step, and you're saved. And here's this man, and David laments at his funeral. I pray God that we will never lament at your funeral. David laments at his funeral. Died Abner, as a fool dieth. The gate of Hebron, a place of safety. What about Matthew 16? This has already been touched. I'm not going to touch it. The gates of hell. Must be an awful thing, you know. It must be an awful thing. Job says in his book, have the gates of death been opened unto thee? Must be an awful thing for sinners to see those gates of death slowly open. And to take the step through. Hear those gates close behind them. And realize just at that same moment, the gates of hell have opened. Friend, in this meeting, what must hell be like? It must be a terrible place. Isolation, separation, torment, lamentation, separated from God forever. What must hell be like? The gates of hell, a place of separation. Let me come to this one. Who wouldn't want to try and speak on it? The gates of hell. The gates of Hebron, a place of safety. The gates of hell, a place of separation. What about the gates of heaven? Ah, friend, John gets to see the great vista of heaven. And as he's looking, as he gets to see this city coming down from God, as he sees all of the majesty that he's witnessing, he sees gates. On the east, three gates. On the north, three gates. On the south, three gates. On the west, three gates. I would like to speak for a moment on the gates of heaven. What will be in heaven? You know what will be in heaven? There will be saints in heaven. Someone was reminding us just last night in this little room. I've passed it many times. So has Mr. Hull, of a little place in Scotland. Well, 300, maybe more years ago, they brought two women out into that little river. It flowed into the ocean. Those women would not acknowledge the king as head of the church. They said, that is for Christ alone. One of them was 70. Her name was Margaret McLaughlin. The other was 17. Her name was Margaret Wilson. And they tied the older woman out further and watched the water come up. They tied the younger woman further back. And the older woman submitted. Very gently, she bowed her head and she gave her life for Christ. And the English soldiers came to the 17-year-old girl and they said, Margaret, have a look. All you've got to do is deny Christ. Deny him and we let you go. You're free. And she said, I can't deny him. And they took her by the hair, put her under the water and pulled her up. And they said, Margaret, deny him, and we'll let you go. She said, I can't deny him. They put her down again, brought her back up. And they said to her, deny Christ. She started to quote Romans chapter 8. And as she's quoting Romans 8, they put her down again, brought her back up. And they said, deny her, and we'll let you go. You know what she said in that lovely Scottish accent? She said, I cannae deny him, for he did for me. You know what it means? I can't deny him, for he died for me. And she gave her life for Christ, 17 years of age. From that scene, she went home. She went to heaven. She went through those gates, because there are saints in heaven. Not only are there saints in heaven, there's a song in heaven. Must be something to be in heaven and hear the song. What a song it is! Just where I come from, in Bridgewater, Nova Scotia, there was an old woman. Mr. Hull knew her very well. Saved many years ago, when the gospel first came into that part of Nova Scotia. And just a few weeks ago she was dying, and some of those saints were around her bed. And they watched her breathing getting shallow. And they knew, this is it, she's going. Some of those saints started to sing to her. And they started to sing, when he takes me by the hand, leads me through that promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be. Must be something to leave a song on earth and hear the song of heaven. Must be something. Can you imagine what it's like to see Christ by and by when I look on his face? Nailed, thorn-crowned face, by and by, when I look on his face, I wish I'd given him more. There are saints in heaven. There's a song in heaven. Lastly, you know the thing that will make heaven, heaven? There's just one thing. Heaven will be heaven for me, because there's a Savior in heaven. The one that died for me upon the cross. The one that went into the awful sorrows. The one that endured the cross, despising the shame. He is in heaven. And when I get there, actually I can't wait to get there, I will bow at his feet and I'll praise him forever, forever saving me. Friend tonight, we have preached on hell. We have preached on the awfulness of hell. But as I close this meeting, let me hold out to you a place in heaven. You could be there. As sure as you're sitting on that seat, if you trust the Lord Jesus, you could be in heaven. Trust him, friend. The gates of Hebron, a place of safety. The gates of hell, a place of separation. The gates of heaven, a place of splendor. A place of satisfaction. Forever, shall we pray.